We're in the second week of our series. I just kind of want to share with you for a few moments. I know you've got great ministry from the kids, and we've worshiped the Lord. And I have a short message for you that I hope will encourage you. We're in the second week of our series as we're talking about the subject of Advent. And it sounds like a church term because it is. The term Advent is actually a term that simply means coming. Jesus came in the beginning when he was born in the manger in Bethlehem, but it also means that we not just celebrate the fact that Jesus came, but we look forward to the return of Jesus when he will come again, when he will rapture the church and we'll meet him in the sky. We're looking forward to that time. So we're really in this period, this season of waiting. And so the Advent season is a time of looking back, but it's also a time of looking ahead. I don't know if you do that in your families. I know that we have many traditions in our family that just kind of started. We didn't sit down and say, what traditions could we begin for our family? They just began, and we've carried on those traditions, and we look back, but we also look ahead to what new things that God would be birthing in and through us. And so what we want to do is kind of my theme sentence, I suppose, for this short message is we want to celebrate the manger, and we want to anticipate the throne. We want to celebrate the manger, and we want to anticipate the throne. So really, those are my two brief points I want to share with you this morning. The first one is we want to celebrate the manger. We want to celebrate the fact, like the children just did, we want to celebrate the fact that Jesus came. Now, if that ever becomes old hat to us, if that ever becomes boring information to us, then we need to get the paddles put to our chest and get revived again. Because the fact that Jesus came is a miracle. You see, when Jesus didn't just come, but he came to us. He came to us as human beings. No other God, lowercase g, in the world, in history, has ever come to his people. Only Jesus Christ came to his people, came to us. And he's still with us today through the presence and the power of his spirit that he left, which is called the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do is I want to take just a moment, and I would like to imagine the world had Jesus never come. Like to imagine the world had Jesus never shown up on that glorious Christmas morning some 2,000 years ago as a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths laying in the manger. If Jesus had never come, we would have the Old Testament of the Bible, but there would be no such thing as the New Testament of the Bible. If Jesus had never come, we'd still be waiting today for a Messiah to come to save us. We'd still be waiting some 2,000 years later. Without Jesus, an argument could rationally be made. Without Jesus and without Christianity, the printing press would have never been invented. Because the printing press, the invention of the printing press, actually came about because people were desperate to try to share with the purpose that God had given them, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the argument could be made. There wouldn't be libraries full of books. There certainly wouldn't be, I think I read yesterday, 120 million websites out there that are devoted to propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. There wouldn't be a charitable organizations had Jesus not come. Who invented charity? Jesus did. Who invented charitable organizations? Jesus did. No public education, no universities would be out there. Harvard and Yale were founded because they wanted to propagate the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There wouldn't even be the concept of this term that we call liberal arts that's been hijacked by the world. Had Jesus not come, it wouldn't be there without Christianity. Think about hospitals. We wouldn't have any hospitals, definitely no publicly funded hospitals. Had Jesus not come, had Christianity not flooded across the world, there would be no civil rights had Jesus not come. We would have no concept of social justice. We wouldn't have women's rights. Who was the one who elevated women in culture? Jesus did. Listen, in fact, our very idea of equality and human dignity, it would be quite different than it was. Listen, without Christianity, we could go so far as to say that the United States, certainly as we know it, would not exist today. Without Christianity, we'd still be living in a world of cannibalism. Without Christianity, we'd still be living in a world of slavery. Without Christianity, and that had not spread around the world, people would still be offering human child sacrifices. People would still be sacrificing their babies to pagan gods with the hope that they'd find freedom from the guilt of their sin had Jesus not come. I think that had Jesus not been born, we'd be missing a whole lot more than trees decorated with lights and tinsel this Christmas season. Truly, the words of C.S. Lewis ring in our hearts when he said, without Christ, the world would always be winter, but never Christmas. We wouldn't have the high expressions of music that we have today had Jesus not come. Men like Bach and Beethoven, Handel's Messiah, would have never been drafted had Jesus not come. Our way of dating history would be completely different, since the way we date history is everything is based upon before Jesus came and after Jesus. There would be churches, certainly not churches in almost every city in America. There'd be we would only have half of the Bible. We would not have the story of God's personal love coming to us, that God had visited the world. We would have no hope of him returning ever again had Jesus not come. There'd be no Christmas gifts. There would be no Christmas carols. There would be no Christmas hymns. Without Jesus, everyone who ever died would be in a devil's hell today. Without Jesus, there would be no hope. There'd be no stories of the transforming power and redemptive gift that Jesus gives to us. Even characters in the New Testament that we wouldn't have today, their lives would be totally different. I got to thinking about Matthew, the tax collector. He wouldn't have been redeemed. He wouldn't have drafted the first book of the New Testament. In fact, without Jesus, he would have been considered a traitor to his countrymen. Without Jesus, the Roman soldier would have clearly continued his cruelty in life. Without Jesus, Peter, James, and John would have done nothing more with their life than continue to be fishermen, living to make the next paycheck. Paul, the Apostle Paul, would have continued his life of being a cruel Pharisee, steeped in legalism, the rules. You must follow the rules. And he had this unrelenting demand for people to be perfect. He would have continued to be instead of the guy that said, grace, peace, be with you. Listen, the people who needed healing during the time of Jesus would have still been broken in their body. They would have still been broken in their souls and still would have been broken in their spirits. The lame would have remained lame. The blind still would have remained in darkness. The deaf still couldn't hear anything. They would have lived in silence. And you and I would be bound up in our depression and our discouragement and the depths of our sins. We would never find freedom. We would never find hope. We would never find peace had Jesus not come. The fact that you can lay your head on your pillow at night and sleep well is a gift from God. Had Jesus not come. That's why we sing, as the kids did, Emmanuel at Christmas time. As we sang earlier, Emmanuel is the name that he was given because he is God with us. He was with us 2,000 years ago, and he is with us today. And we should never take that gift for granted. We have a God who cared enough to come. No other religion can say that. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He's a friend of failures. He showed us love. He showed us compassion. He loved the outcasts of the world, and I thank the Lord for that. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He taught us not to adhere to the values of this world to determine our worth. Instead, he said, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, Matthew 20:16. Listen, he taught us that our value to God was way more important than what anybody else thinks about us in this life, in this world. Some of you have seen the program Storage Wars, I'm sure. Kind of like to watch that program. I enjoy it when they get a locker, a storage locker, and they're making bids on it. If you haven't seen the program, it's an abandoned storage locker. Somebody hasn't paid their rent at a storage facility for a few months, and so the storage facility by law is allowed to auction off whatever the contents are in there to try to recoup their money. On this particular program, any particular episode of the program, the people go and they gather around a locker that is opened up, a garage that is opened up. They get a look inside, but they cannot go inside, and they just bid on boxes and what they can see. They don't know what's in there, but almost every time it looks like junk, which is probably why somebody abandoned it and didn't want to keep on paying the rent for that storage facility, that storage locker. Then comes later on in the episode, usually some sort of look from at least one of them of surprise and shock when they learn that what looks to be ugly inside the unit, once they get in there and dig around, they discover that there's thousands of dollars worth of merchandise and supplies and items, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars of treasures that have been left abandoned in a storage locker. When I see this story, when I see the program, I think of how God takes people who aren't seen as very valuable from the outside in the world. And instead, what he does is he places high value on us because that's who God is. Over and over again, we're trying to emphasize your identity is not found in this world. Your identity is not found on the label that someone put on you a few years ago. Your identity is found in one place, and that's in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And so when we see this happen on this program, we understand that Jesus sets our lives free over and over and over again. That the outcasts of society seem to be the specialty of our great and mighty God. The sinful and the sick and the poor and the weak were people that he pulled out of the trash and he saw treasure in them. If Jesus had never come, we'd never known about God. Never known about God. So we celebrate the manger. But secondly, we anticipate the throne. We look forward to the day. Anybody in here ever had an out-of-the-box experience before? You know, out-of-the-box experience. When I was a kid, I was a Snoopy. I was a sneaky little rascal is what I was. When I was a kid, I couldn't wait to find out what was underneath the Christmas tree. And I'm being very honest and transparent with you. And so I would do all I can do when my parents were at work to discover what the gifts were. And one time, I knew what the gift was. You see, when my parents weren't around, I felt the gift. I did all I could do to unwrap the gift without actually unwrapping the gift. You know, you press in and then you get your little fingers, you try to pull it back out again so it doesn't look like you pressed in. You shake the thing, you feel the weight of the thing. You know, you kind of march around with the thing. And I discovered that one year that I was going to this, and I was really excited about this because I wanted to start a new hobby because my friends were doing it. They had joined what's called a Bantam Bowling League, and I wanted to learn to bowl. I wanted to bowl. And so in order to bowl, I felt like I needed a bowling ball. So I had told my parents that I really want a bowling ball. Well, there was this box that was very square in shape, and I picked it up, and I thought, oh, that is heavy. And when you do this, you try to shake it, and it goes tunk, 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 tunk. You kind of got an idea that you might just have a bowling ball inside that. So I did what every smart kid does. I don't know why I did this. I picked it about 3 feet off the ground, and I dropped that sucker. I just wanted to see if it would. I don't know what I wanted to see, honestly. I feel foolish even saying that to you. But I dropped that sucker, and it thumped on the ground. I knew that I had a bowling ball waiting for me on Christmas morning. It was an out-of-the-box experience. I hadn't gotten in the box yet. My name was on the box. I knew that it was for me. I knew that I just had a few days to count down before I could open up that box. I knew all about, in fact, I would dream of the day that I got that box so that the day after Christmas, because everything's closed on Christmas, the day after Christmas, I could join my friends and go to the bowling alley and start bowling. And I did. Me and my two brothers, it was Todd, Troy, and Travis. We were in a bowling league, and we made our own t-shirts. We called ourselves the Tip Top Tees. That's what we were, and we did really well. Could have gone pro. But I had a blast. I had a blast doing it. So bowling was exciting to me. I wanted to get this bowling ball. The out-of-the-box experience for me was I knew that I was getting a bowling ball. It hadn't been given to me yet, but I knew it was going to be given to me because it was under the tree, and my name was on the box. I figured out what was in that package. Here's the point. The point is, I was already enjoying the pleasures of a future event. Going to the bowling alley. Or maybe unwrapping the gift. Because I already knew what I was going to get. And I was excited. It didn't take it away from me. I was genuinely excited about what I was going to get. It had my name on it. I knew what it was. It was mine, but it had not been handed to me yet. Because it wasn't Christmas morning yet. But then, on Christmas morning, get this now, I would see with my eyes what before I had only seen with my heart. That's an out-of-the-box experience. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about we're anticipating the throne. One day, Jesus is going to return as he promised he would. Can someone say amen? Yes? And how do I know that? Because he's given us a sneak peek in the Word. He told us that one day you're going to hear this trumpet call of God blasting across the atmosphere. one day you're going to hear the voice of the archangel. This angel we had here, just the voice of the archangel triumphantly speaking, just command, a loud shout. I don't know what it's going to be, a woohoo. I don't know what it's going to be, but you're going to hear the voice now. I don't know what it is. You're going to hear the voice of the archangel thunder across the sky. The Bible tells us that in that time, what's going to happen is we are going, the dead in Christ are going to rise. And those of us who are saved, who know Jesus Christ, who already have a relationship with him, didn't say perfect, but know Jesus, we're going to rise. So when you hear, here's the deal, guys. When you hear the voice of the archangel, when you hear a trumpet call, don't look perplexed. Don't look around like, what is that all about? All right? You probably better buckle up because you're going for a ride, baby, okay? Because we're all going to go up together to meet him in the clouds. That's going to happen. That is not just a pie in the sky thing. It's going to happen. And when it happens, we're going to experience and be with the Lord forever with him together. So he's given us a sneak peek at this. He's given us an out-of-the-box experience. We know it's going to happen. I mean, we picked up the gift. We've picked up the gift. And in this case, with the Lord, the gift is found in his word. We picked up the gift, and we've read the end of the story. And we know what's going to take place. I mean, we have an understanding, at least an understanding in our heart. Now, we haven't seen it yet. We haven't been a part of it yet. I mean, we've been saved, we've been set free. Jesus forgave us of our sins, he healed our spirit, but we're still living in this old, ugly world. We still have to deal with the effects of sin in our culture and in our society. And newsflash, it's only going to get worse. I'm not a downer, I'm not a doomsday guy, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. He says, listen, things in the end times, the love of many is going to grow cold. In the end times, wickedness is going to increase. He says, in the end times, information, knowledge is going to abound. So all this stuff has happened. In the end times, you're going to have wars and rumors of wars. In the end, you're going to see all these things take place. When you see these things take place, he says, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. I'm on my way. I think of it this way. I like to think of it. You ever watch All-Star Wrestling when you were young? Maybe some of you are really, really young. You have no idea what I'm talking about. I remember All-Star Wrestling long before there was WWF or WWE and all those crazy people. But All-Star Wrestling, where there's Rufus R. Jones and Freight Train. Anyway, I remember Bulldog Bob Brown. Anybody? Nobody? Okay, well, anyway. I used to watch this. And I don't know if you remember the tag team. Yeah, you have to hold on to the turnbuckle, right? The thing in the corner. You have to hold. You got to keep your hand on there. I mean, if your partner's got to tag you, and they're getting the thunder beat out of them. And the only thing they got to do is they got to crawl and somehow slither and get over to where they can tag their partner. I don't know. In my little old brain, I think of things like this. Sometimes we feel like we're getting beat up. Sometimes we feel like we're getting steamrolled. Sometimes we feel like we're getting bulldozed in this old world, right? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, right? But in the end, I kind of feel like Jesus, the Bible says Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back. Only the Father knows when he's coming back. I kind of wonder if Jesus, like, can I go now? Is it now? Come on, tag me. I don't know. But in a little while, he's going to come back. And he's not going to come back as a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. He's going to come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's when Jesus is going to come back. So praise the Lord. And that's when I'm going to receive. I mean, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if your name is recorded in the book that's found in heaven, then you receive a one-way ticket. And that one-way ticket is to meet him in the clouds, in the sky. Or should you graduate before then? Before Jesus raptures the earth, I don't like to say die for Christians. Should you graduate? Should you close your eyes in death? The Bible promises us that you will open your eyes in the presence of the Lord. I was reading a story comparing two different people together, and I thought it was fascinating. One person was complaining about how much pain and discouragement that she was in her life. And another person was in a tremendous amount of pain, suffering from leukemia and the final effects of that cancer and how it was going to take her life. And this pastor said, I went to both of them, and I said, you know, he took out a notepad and he drew on a piece of paper a circle. And he said, "What? This is your life. What's at the center?" "Oh, that's easy," said the first lady. And she took the pad and she wrote down in the center of the circle, "Problems." I mean, she's just frustrated, angry, discouraged, downcast, depressed. I mean, she's at the end of her rope. Now, we don't want to dismiss this lady. She's in a dark place if the center of her life is problems. And he went over to this other lady, and he said, he didn't tell her the other two, but he said, you're going to die. Are you afraid? And she said, Pastor, I'm a little afraid. I'm afraid of the dying process, but I'm not afraid of death. Well, I think that would be a pretty rational statement for all of us, don't you think? Because it's like the unknown. We don't know. What does dying feel like? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, right? But we do know. We do know because God gives us a picture of what happens in that nanosecond when you breathe your last breath, when you die. And so he said the same thing. He drew a circle on a piece of paper. He said, this is your life. I know it hurts, but what's at the center? She said, oh, that's easy. She took the piece of paper, and she wrote hope. Hope. See, this one over here wasn't going to die. She just wanted to. This one over here was going to die. The difference between the two, between problems and hope, is Jesus Christ. Had Jesus never come, when you're getting ready to breathe your last breath, there would be nobody that could come alongside you and pray with you. You would be all alone. You would be suffering. And you'd be condemned to die and spend the rest of your life, your eternal life, in death, in hell. I think that's the greatest part of Christmas, is the gift that Jesus gave provides for us the gift of life. We want to celebrate the manger, and we want to anticipate the throne. Certainly we do in our family. And we invite you to join us on that journey as our New Life family, and then to share that joy with other people. Christmas is not just about remembering. Christmas is about expecting. It's about anticipating the future glory that waits us when Jesus returns. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much. God, so much. What a great day this is. Thank you, God, for the great worship this morning. And thank you, God, for the kids and the way they've ministered and reminded us of the manger, reminded us of the story that gave us hope, that changed our society, that changed the trajectory of the world. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us this morning that God's greatest gift, his one and only Son, was given so that we could live. And Lord, we anticipate and look forward to the soon coming return of our King and our Lord. And God, while we're in this waiting period, nobody likes to wait. Nobody likes that fruit of the Spirit, that patience. Nobody likes to be put on hold. So God, while we're waiting, we should not be waiting sitting on our hands. But instead, the purpose that we have, the existence that you've given to us, is to declare and express your word, your love, and your life. So this Christmas season, God, may it be said of us that we intentionally choose to share the good news that Jesus Christ has come, and more than that, that Jesus Christ lives and is coming again. God, we give you praise today, we give you glory today, and we give you honor today for who you are and for who you've called us to become. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Can you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Because many is worthy. Praise God. Well, we know that many of you are staying for the second gathering as well, as we're going to have the Christmas program again. There'll be some more folks here. God bless you. And man, it's fun being a parent. Isn't it fun being a parent? Praise the Lord. I'm so happy for you. It's funner being a grandparent. I'm just going to throw that one out there, okay? But we're excited about it. But it's fun being a parent. I'm proud of you for seeing your children through this. But for those of you that are going to be going, just take a look back there at the back wall. Do you see that beautiful thing back there? Yeah, you're looking at the tree. I'm looking at the clock. See, I just banked 16 minutes is what I did. I just want you to be aware of that. So I'm going to use that in a future message, okay? Okay, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he give you rest and may he give you peace. God bless you, New Life Church. Merry Christmas. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.